welcome back to another broadcast. I hope that this series of messages on salvation has been a blessing to you. In addition to what we've looked at for salvation, we're going to look at just a few more things. And besides showing that Christ had finished making a full payment for our sins, there are other results that come from the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're the things that we're going to look at today. While Christ walked upon the earth, he told his disciples that he would indeed be raised up on the third day. Because what he said would happen actually did, this added great credence to all that he spoke. One statement being that he was indeed the Son of God. The resurrection could be considered Christ's credentials. So if he's making all statements about himself as being the Son of God, the Son of Man, he talks about himself being the Christ, and all that we've looked at, as well as other things you may read in the Gospels, how do we know them to be true? Well, he said he's going to raise again on the third day. So then if he does raise again on the third day, what does that do? If what he said about the resurrection is true by being demonstrated, then we must be forced to believe that everything else that he said is true. Because what would be the greatest task? Resurrecting yourself from the dead would be the greatest declarative statement to make. Many people who enter large industrial plants, embassies, or important buildings of our government are required to show either a pass, government identification, or their credentials. For those who are not Christians, who consider who Christ is, hear a resounding statement that he is the Son of God, thus being proved by his resurrection. So let's look at a few verses. Romans chapter 1, verse 4 says this, "And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead." So from this verse, what does the resurrection from the dead do? Declares to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness. So he's the Son of God, and he has the power. It's being declared by what act? Him resurrecting from the dead. Matthew 12:40. "For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." John 2:19. "Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said." So this resurrection is going to really be the cement that's pulling all of the truths that Christ presented during his earthly ministry. It's fortifying them, binding them together, and declaring him to be exactly who he says he is. So not only does the resurrection from the dead declare that Jesus is the Son of God, believers are assured that they are accepted with God. Look at Romans 4:25. "Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." Remember, the justification is the act that God does when he declares a person innocent or no longer guilty of sin. Believers are also assured that they will be resurrected. 1 Thessalonians 4:14. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." So he can only bring them with them if he's brought them back to life. 2 Corinthians 4:14 says, "Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you." So here Paul's making a statement that because Christ rose from the dead, he is going to resurrect us also. So his resurrection declares Jesus to be the Son of God. His resurrection is a proof or declares that we also are accepted by God. It declares that we will be also resurrected. And the resurrection declares that the world will be resurrected and judged. 1 Corinthians 15:22. "For as in Adam all sin, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." Acts 17:31. "Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance to all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. So in that he raised him from the dead, it's appointed that he will judge the world in righteousness. That's what that verse is showing. I'll read it again. Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man by whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. What's the assurance of all men? There's going to be the judgment, and the assurance is in the proof by him being raised from the dead. He's going to judge the world in righteousness. That's not going to be a good day for the world. It's not going to be a good day for many, many people. It's saddening to think of it. So we need to get the message out. People need to trust Christ as Savior. They can't trust unless they hear. They hear and they must understand. And then God will work in their heart through truth. And they will begin to believe. And hopefully we'll see them call on Christ. What's man's part? Man's part in salvation is that he will either believe and trust Christ as Savior, or he will not believe and reject Christ. Acts 16, verse 31. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." John 3:15, "That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Verse 18, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." John 5:24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." How does he get this half life? That whosoever believeth on him. John 11:26, "And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Believest thou this? That's what Jesus said at the tomb of Lazarus before he raises him from the dead. Acts chapter 2. And verse 21, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Do you see this? It's believing. And believing will bring about an action of calling. A person who's swimming in a lake and is out pretty far, who is not in threat of danger, who has the strength to be able to swim and the skill to be able to swim, is not crying out for somebody to save them. It's a person who finds themselves in a spot in water deeper than they can stand. They cannot swim, or they don't have the strength to swim, or they cannot make it back to shore. The distance is too far for them, and they know that their life is in danger of peril. What will they do? They will cry out and call for someone to come and save them. And that's what needs to happen for a person to come to Christ. They need to recognize their condition, recognize the condition and strength of Christ, and then call upon him to save them from the peril. Looking at Acts chapter 10, verse 43, "To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." Acts 16:31, "And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." John 1:12, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." It's so simple. It's so simple that many will not believe it. They believe they must do something to be worthy or to deserve salvation. They believe they must pay some punishment or some payment for the wrong that they've done. And part of that is true. Yes, you may be feeling you must make some payment because of the guilt that's put upon you. But that payment, if you're going to make payment, you will make complete payment. So either you make complete payment for your sin, or Christ makes complete payment for your sin. And you trust him as your propitiation. You trust him as your person paying the price. You trust him to rescue you from your sin. But because the heart of man is desperately wicked above all things, who can know it? It's deceitful. And as we look inside of us, we begin to try and find solutions to our problem. And part of it is in part true. Yes, there is a price to pay, but that's not what God's demanding from you. And so you must leave your works out of salvation. We've spent a lot of time on this, and maybe you've listened to this broadcast and you don't know Christ as Savior. He wants you to be saved. He's done everything that's required for you to be saved. There's no work, there's no action, there's no payment that needs to be done on your part. It's a simple, resting faith in the work that Jesus did. It's finally done. I remember a while ago, my wife and my daughter, they were driving down a back road. It was late at night, and a drunk driver had lost control of their car and crashed into them. And they were faced with the accident. They got banged up a bit. And I remember my wife telling me that she wanted Daddy now, because I wasn't there. But they just knew that if Daddy was there, he was going to make everything all right. They would be safe and secure, and they wouldn't have to be afraid anymore. Now, I'm glad that I have that relationship with my daughter. But see, that's exactly the relationship that God wants to have with you. He wants you to say, I want rescued from my sin. I want rescued right now. I want Jesus right now as my Savior. And in believing that if you got him as your Savior, you're going to be saved. You're going to be rescued. It's going to be over. It's going to be done. It'll be settled forever. That's called faith in Christ. A couple last verses. 1 John 5:11. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Do you have Jesus? If you have Jesus as your Savior, you have eternal life. If you don't have Jesus as your Savior, you don't have eternal life. There are people in churches who believe about God. They believe about Jesus. They know that he died on the cross. They know that he resurrected from the dead. But that's not what they've solely trusted in. They can't look back at a time when they cried out to him and said, I'm trusting you as Savior. And they will live, hear truth, but never act upon it, and sadly, still die in their sin. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. What God requires from man is that he simply put his faith in Christ and what he did for man on the cross. When a person prays to trust Christ, in their heart should be the belief that he is finally getting the matter of salvation settled. This should not be confused with a hope or desire for salvation. When a person believes in Christ, they know that he will save them. Is that you? Do you have Christ? If you do have Christ, remember, you are forever accepted and acceptable in the Beloved. So until the next time, God bless.